Hello, and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk with Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. I'd like to welcome Christy Payne to the podcast. She is the owner of Keys Place. Christy, I know you're a Hot Springs native, and I think you said you opened back in March.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, start off with what do you do there at Keys Place? Because there's a lot going on.
Yes. So it's a combination of a lot of my passions really under one umbrella. Key is a nickname for me, so it's like my place. So it's just all my things that I do. So I do gluten-free and plant-based baking. I make cookies and other snacks. I do these cinnamon roasted nut bars, and those are my favorite. But I really wanted to be able to provide something that was a really nice treat or an indulgence for people that might not otherwise have the opportunity to enjoy those things. And then it gave me a way to really dive into my creativity and my creative expression. I've really loved crystals for a while. Being a native here, you kind of grow up with just like crystals
right, everywhere.
And so there, I just love those little pretty things. but yeah, so I started wire wrapping and making jewelry. And different home decor, things like that. And then I also paint. I grew up with a father that was an artist, and so I really was born into a world of art and creativity and the ability to have that expression. So this was me kind of stepping into that and sharing it with the world. And yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the jewelry and the wire wrapped things, because you said it's not just jewelry. You do
right, decorations
for like houses and the like.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that. You know, what kinds of things do you do and how did you kind of get into that?
Yeah. Okay. Initially got into it just because I was digging crystals so much that as I was finding them, and I just had such a fascination with the unique way that each of them form and stuff like that. And I would just see them like as paintings or as, you know, jewelry. I was like, oh, right, this would make a perfect ring or this would make a great necklace. So initially I got into it because I just loved crystals and it was something to really take those and put into my art. And so I just kind of started playing with it, and I had seen a lot of other wire wrapping and I thought it was really cool. Initially when I first started and played with it, I tried some tutorials and I actually didn't really like it very much at first. I was like, I don't know, I can't really get this. And I set it aside for probably 2 years. And then when 2020 hit and got laid off and it was home, and you know, so I ended up getting back out digging a lot more that year as well, just to have a way to get out. And then I had a couple of friends and people that just asked me, hey, I know that, you know, you're really creative. Can you do something with this stone for me? And so I really got back into it just to make some things for a couple of friends. And when I went back to it that time, instead of trying to kind of go at it from a tutorial, you know, step-by-step process,
right, I
just grabbed wire and the crystals and I just played with it. Just kind of went with the natural shape. And then I was able to, going about it that way, opened up my creative flow more rather than like thinking about it so much. And so it was totally different that time. And I just enjoyed of really the individuality of the stones, their uniqueness. And I just wanted them to kind of be the centerpiece, to where the jewelry part was like an accent to really just enhance the natural beauty of the stone. So I dig all of my quartz myself. And then the other stones that I wrap, I handpick. I go around. I really believe in shopping small, shopping mm-hmm. local. So there's all kinds of, you know, crystal shops in the area. And I've got some friends that sell them too. So I try to kind of go and, you know, right. buy things from different places. But it's fun for me to go just like dig through, you know, bins of stones right. and find the ones that really jump out to me as being unique or, you know, extra beautiful. This is, you know, one today as well. But yeah, so kind of give you a little bit there.
All right. And you said you also do some painting and yes. stuff like that. How did you get into that? Was yeah. that something that your dad kind of passed down to you?
You know, yes. It's that piece is really interesting because I write as well. That writing has always actually been what I felt was my medium, mm-hmm. if you will. So I was born into a home where my mom was math science teacher, and then my dad was this artist, and he was really well read. He only had an eighth grade education, but he read mm-hmm. a lot and learned a lot. So he was really good at English and, you know, things like that. So I had this really cool combination. But he owned his own business my whole life as a custom framing business, arts and art supply store and gallery. And he carried the best top quality art supplies in the world. It was his thing. He was like, if you're going to do it right, was right. his motto. So we grew up literally with professional grade art supplies, like everything you could think of. And we just got to play growing up. And he always would tell us, you know, anybody can draw, everyone's an artist. But ironically, I was in this really interesting headspace because I was like, no, I'm a writer. And my younger sister is just an unbelievably talented artist. And so I grew up saying, oh, that gene skipped me. I'm not an artist. I'm just a writer. Like, this isn't me. And my dad ended up passing away in 2014. And so a few years after that, I guess it was 2017, 2018, I was really diving into healing a lot of that grief. And I had his watercolor set. He has this metal case of all these watercolors and his brushes and stuff like that that he had let me borrow shortly before he passed. And I still had them. And it was a way of me reconnecting with him and really healing that grief of the loss of him. And so I just kind of dove in and I just played with it. And then I started sketching a lot in journals and things like that. And in the last couple of years, I was like, okay, maybe I am an artist. Maybe this is part of me. And then I said that to my little sister and she's like, yes, of course you are. Like, I never understood why you always said you weren't, you know? But it's interesting. We can have those mindsets sometimes that kind of block us from things. But yeah, that was my way of connecting to him. And it just opened up in a different way for me. So yeah, it was really special.
Yeah.
Tune in to check out the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So how did you get into the baking aspect? Because yeah. I know that, you know, that's your main focus over yes. there at Key's Place.
Yes.
So you do cookies and I think you said yeah. some nut bars and things.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Where that journey started.
Yeah, absolutely. So that journey really started on a deeper level where I really started focusing more on and diving into it, actually, when I went vegan 5 or 6 years ago. It helped me fall back in love with food because I was just trying all these new things and new recipes and learning how to make recipes without using dairy, without using eggs, and what, you know, the textures, and there's so many different options that are out there that you can substitute. It's and they all give a little bit different result, you know. And so I dove in and started just playing with things from a plant-based standpoint and really learning and fine-tuning recipes that were my favorites. I remember with my ex-husband, like I would make him German chocolate cake from scratch every year for his birthday and stuff like that. And so I was like, okay, how do I do this without dairy and eggs? And like, can I get it as good? And so it was like, had a challenge to it as well.
Right.
But I also fell in love with the beauty. I feel like baking and making food is an art in itself as well. And with in the plant-based world, there was so much beauty and color that you could like bring into it. So I initially started there, and I just fell in love with it. And then a couple of years ago, my body went through some shifts and just, I got very sick. And it forced me to have to kind of like start over again and be like, okay, let's figure out how to make this now with the gluten-free component to it. And I realized that was the thing that was making me sick. My body was not happy with me at all. Okay. But yeah, I had gotten down to like 90 pounds at the worst. Oh, I was very sick. I wasn't able to work. And I was very fortunate to have family really step in and help me through that time. But I was in kind of a depression around it, and I had accepted it. I was trying to kind of work with acceptance of like, okay, this is my new reality. And I was struggling with like, I mean, I would just shut down I was like, what do I eat? What do I do? And so I was like, okay, I've got to shift this space that I'm in, my mindset, and find a way to, you know, bring that joy back to making food and eating, and having a different, you know, and not having the fear around eating was really a big piece of it. I just was afraid to eat anything. And so earlier this year, so I launched in March. So like January, February, I got this idea because I missed just being able to really just enjoy something, a treat, to be, just indulge, because it had been a couple of years. And so so I found a few recipes, and I was like, I'm just going to try these out and try to figure out this gluten-free thing.
Right.
And when I started making that first batch of cookies, the movement and the smells and just the all of it really brought me back into my body, and helped me. Honestly, it just broke me out of that depression. And then the next thing I knew, I was like singing and dancing and like stirring stuff. And I was like, whoa, okay, this is something, because of how powerful that was to just bring me out of the depression piece. So I started playing with it and took recipes to like my mom's husband bakes, and he's a, you know, bacon and eggs, like meat and potato, you know, like classic, right. Like cream, like, you know, there's no like dairy free or, you right. know, any right. of that there. And, but he's incredible. He makes these amazing pies, and I knew he's a really good baker. So I took stuff over there and I was like, okay, if he likes them, I'm good. Like, right. I'm good. Right. So I took cookies over there to them, and he took a bite, and he's like, this is gluten free. And I was like, yes, okay, I've got the recipe down. That was like, okay, that's what I was wanting. And so from there, like, I, you know, friends tried it and stuff like that. And then I also have one of, you know, my niece has to be gluten-free as well. And so kids are the best at getting feedback from, because they just say whatever they think. Right, you know, you're right. Going to get straight honesty. So I did the same thing, took cookies over there, let the kids try them. And they're like, oh, this is like a real cookie. So They had tried, you know, other store finds and just, you know, the kids could tell the difference. And so with that, they really loved him too. And so I was like, okay, kid approved, Grandfather Randall approved. Like, I was like, all right, we're ready. And so, so I started with Farmer's Market, setting up at Farmer's Market, and I had just such, I was welcomed with such support. And it really opened my eyes as well to how many people are in our community that can't eat gluten or that do have dairy allergies and egg allergies. And it was just neat to see, or, and even tourists coming through, they're like, oh, wow, you know, there's an option I can have. So, so yeah, it was a neat, response. And I was like, okay, this is working. So let's just see where this goes. And then I've just kind of gone with it and played with, you know, expanding and trying different things. I have some new stuff coming as well that I'm excited about. But yeah. And then like the nut bars, I literally just kind of looked at what was in my cupboard and I was like, what can I throw together? That's, you know, cause cookies are great, but it's nice to also have like a snacks and treats that aren't like super sugary. And a lot of us that struggle with issues with gluten are pretty sensitive to sugar a lot of times too and have to kind of keep that low. So I was like, okay, let's just try this. And I threw in just all of my favorite things and it came out really yummy. And so that's been a, I feel like that's been a fan favorite of, especially with men. The men usually kind of gravitate to those more. But yeah, it's got a lot of protein in it. And just, and I used to just use coconut sugar and a little bit of agave, a little bit of maple syrup to give it that richness with some cinnamon. And so it's just like a light coating. It's, yeah, so I've gotten a lot of good feedback on that too. So I'm excited as we're going into the holidays to kind of really expand and dive in into more. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I know that you said that you are primarily over here at the farmer's market, but you also do a little bit of traveling. You told me a story about being in Mena not too long ago.
Yes. I got to work the Ouachita Bigfoot Festival and Conference down in Mena a few weeks ago. Oh, yes. And I had such a really beautiful experience there. There was a nine or 10 year old kid that had never been able to have a chocolate chip cookie, never tasted it. When he first said that, I was like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I've never been able to have one because he had so many different allergies and he had a condition that I can't remember the name of now, but it caused a lot of swelling in the throat in reaction to a lot of his allergies. And so, you know, we went into detail with lots of questions and he was just getting so hyped. I mean, you would have thought he was going to like Disneyland or something. And he was like, oh my gosh, I can have these. I think I can have these. And I was like, well, go get mom or dad. Like, let's really make sure. Cause I wanted him to be safe. But yeah, dad came over and we chatted a little bit, went into detail as far as, you know, what brand of certain ingredients I use and, kind of went through other allergies just to make sure there was no cross-contamination, no way that he was going to have anything. And we realized that he could have the cookies. And so he was so excited. He just was like, he told me, thank you, I think, you know, 1,000 times. His mom came over later and was talking to me and he texted her while she was talking to me and was like, tell her thank you again. But it was so sweet and heartwarming. And it, like I said, it, you know, earlier, it reminded me of why I started it to begin with, to really just have an option out there for people that, you know, for kids that are 10 years old and never been able to eat a chocolate chip cookie that seems like such a basic, normal thing that, you know, everyone gets to enjoy usually. Yeah. So it was special. Yeah, kind of gave me that boost to keep going and stick with it, and that yes, we're on the right track. So
yeah. So obviously, being over at the farmer's market, you don't have a brick and mortar type store.
Right.
So how can people get in touch with you?
Sure.
Social media, website, that kind of thing.
Yes. So I have an Instagram as well as Facebook page, and that's Keys Place, KEYS. PLACE. hotsprings on, that's my Facebook page as well as Instagram, so they can follow me there. And then I also have a website that they can contact me directly through. They can email me or send me a message if they want to order something or have a special request that they'd like me to try to make for them. I'm always mm-hmm. open for that as well. So the website is www.keys-place.com. So www.keys-place.com. So yeah, they can take a look at jewelry that I've got up. They can look at the ingredients and details of the cookies and nut bars. And then, like I said, they're welcome to contact me through that website. And then it also has my phone number on there, which is text friendly. So if they want to shoot me a text, I can respond or leave a voicemail. I'm not always available to answer. A lot of times I'm in areas that I don't have good signal. So, but yeah, they're welcome to shoot me a message. And especially with the holidays coming up, you know, if they want something for Thanksgiving, a platter, or, you know, a larger order, I'm going to be doing some of those things as well. So.
All right, sounds
great. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming out and talking to me.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.